This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Everybody get your...
All right, closing out on 5:30. Actually, 5:29 right now. It's time for the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. Dan, obviously, Joe Judge got the boot yesterday, and John Mara said today he thinks there's still a good head coach in there. And maybe you jump me on this, but I kind of think there could be as well. I don't think it was the time to keep him. Did you see anything positive about Joe Judge?
Oh, man. No. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say. So I would say last year I felt encouraged about what Joe Judge was doing. Last year, watching how hard that team played, you know, I remember sitting there going, how does Jerry Jones sit there and watch, you know, Mike McCarthy and think that, you know, he's got a better coach than the Giants do? Because the way that the Giants were playing football, at least, effort and intention last year, I think that's something that you could point to and say, well, that first year, at least there were some promising moments. But I don't like there's a lot more that needs to come from a head coach rather than, hey, your team plays hard, right? Your team needs to play well. They need to play winning football, you know? So that's where Joe Judge, and you got to handle every aspect of, you know, being a head coach is like being the president, 24/7, 365. It's like being the quarterback. It's all the time. And you've got to really handle all those different moments in a really high-level fashion. And that's where Joe Judge really started to fail this year.
Now they got to move on. And my question to you is, do they have enough talent to lean into the skid or turn into the skid? Meaning, I've got some skilled players. I'm up against the cap. Let me see if I can do something here, get a coach with experience. Do I throw my hat in the ring to try to pry Sean Payton away from New Orleans, get a veteran quarterback and take advantage of the talent that I have here, or do you just strip it right down to the bone and start over?
Strip it down to the bone and start over and finally do it right. You'll never know if you get the right guy until you're a couple years in, right? But so first of all, this is the New York Giants. You guys know it significantly better than I do, but it's the New York Giants. You know, like, I'm getting the question, obviously, from the ESPN producers. Where do you rank the Giants' job when it comes to the vacancies? I rank it up there. It's the maybe behind, like, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos, because they got really talented teams. The Giants are right there. It's the New York Giants. Would you rather go coach in Jacksonville or in New York City? That's not disrespect to the Jaguars' intent. It's the Giants. But I think you got to finally do it the right way.
Yep.
I think, and you guys know this, I think you got to move on from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And if you are on the fence, this gives you the reason to do that. There's no point in bringing Daniel Jones back. The head coach and the general manager basically are going to have 1 year. It's like the Jets and Sam Darnold to figure out, are they going to keep him or not? Is the team going to be good enough to get a true evaluation on him? No. And then with Saquon, it just didn't work. You know, I'm not sitting here telling everybody Saquon can't play and he's a bust of a player, but the pick didn't happen. So I think you find the general manager that you want, that you believe in, that, you know, fits everything that you want. And then you let him pick the head coach and you try to rebuild it the right way. You got two top 10 picks and they got a both hit. And I just think that's the best long-term belief philosophy to do it the right way.
We were just batting this around before you came on, Dan. They have those two first-round picks, really good picks. And Don, you know, threw it out there. Would you give up a first-round draft pick for Sean Payton and the other one for Russell Wilson? What do you think?
I like the first-round draft pick for Sean Payton for sure.
Right.
I'd have to know where Sean is, you know, where his motivation is, you know, and wanting to kind of start anew and be a part of that rebuild. I've shared with you guys my thoughts on Russell Wilson and where I feel with Russell Wilson. No, I would not give up that pick for Russell Wilson if I was the New York Giants. If I got three really good years out of Russell Wilson football-wise, I don't believe that roster is going to be, within 3 years, championship-caliber roster. So what's the point of me giving up that pick? I'd rather use that pick on a player that I have pegged and said, that's a cornerstone. That cat's going to be here for 12 years. And, of course, you got to see, and it's an unproven commodity versus a proven commodity. But if you're high, I've always said this, like, I'm hiring a general manager, not for perfection, but I believe he's going to be good at his job. I'm giving you two picks in the top 10. I'm hiring you to believe that you're going to draft good players there, you know? And so that's why, like, with the Giants, I don't – intriguing with Sean Payton, but I don't think I would give up that pick for Russell.
I'm trying to think of – so to be full transparency, Dan, I'm on your side. Dom was presenting an idea of where, because of the contracts they have, they try to kind of piece things together. I'm with you. I think this is the perfect opportunity to completely scrap this thing. I'm trying to think of who the pieces they have on this team that they'd even care about holding on to, with all due respect.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, I don't know if there's a single one other than the left tackle, right? Galladay, massive, massive mistake. I think Shep's a good player. So I like Shep.
Shep's a nice player. He is.
Player. Right, yeah, nice, good players. Kadarius Toney, for everything I've heard of it, is challenging off the field. Challenging would be the kind way for me to phrase it. So super talented on the field, and my goodness, he's absolute juice. But you got to figure out a way to manage him off the field and whatnot. Tight end, offensive line-wise, no. Again, Saquon Daniel, no. There's pieces on that defense, though. Like, I feel like you've got some young pieces defensively that you feel good about.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's come to this. I mean, they almost made the playoffs last year, and this year they just fell off a cliff. And you know, we haven't had you on since this happened. I saw what you tweeted out, but what was your reaction mentally when you saw two quarterback sneaks in the shadow of their own end zone on second and third down?
There's no way that just happened. You know, like, so I'm on Sundays, I'm watching 5-6 games at a time, you know, and so, you know, really in the moment, I'm just trying to catch – it's a bird's-eye view of stuff, and I rewatch the games at night to go do my job on TV. And it takes a lot for me to, like, get up off the couch and be jarred by something where I'm going to be like, hold up. It's, you know, those 1 o'clock window games where there's 1,000 going on, like, and when I saw that happen – so the second down, I don't actually – like, the second down I can understand somewhat.
Sure.
But the 3rd and 9 – so here's the thing. The 3rd and 9, this is my guess. This is a complete assumption by me. The 3rd and 9, not a guarantee. I feel really confident that was not the play call. And that Joe Judge more than likely stepped in as the coach and said, I want quarterback sneak. I don't believe that an offensive coordinator is going to call that play. So I think that call came from the head coach. And when it happened, it just struck me as that is an absolute embarrassment to everybody associated with the organization. There are so many different ways to go about that situation. You can hand the ball off, a traditional run. You can call a draw play. You can throw a perimeter screen that's safe and go, and I don't want to put these young players in positions where they're going to fail. But to do that tells your fans and your players, like, we don't care about winning. We're not trying to be competitive in this game. I have no idea why I came to practice all week, coach, if you were going to do that. So it was one of the most – there's no way that just happened moments as I've been associated with football.
Now, can you imagine? I just thought about this, Dan, as a player. If you suffered a catastrophic injury on that play.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah. Like, when that happens, you're just – that's what I said on TV Monday. Like, you're tone deaf to the coach now. There's nothing you could say to me that is going to make me kind of follow you and believe in you. And thank God no one got hurt, but that would have been an even worse situation, right? So – when the coach steps in and does that, I think it's almost like, you know, a parent with a child. You know, we all, once your kid lies to you, it's not that I think you're a liar. It's just I'm going to struggle to believe you from now on. You know, when the coach does that, it's you've done it once, and now I really don't feel I can trust you anymore.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so of the games this weekend, Dan, what's the best chance for an upset?
Yeah, I think it's Dallas-San Francisco. I think San Francisco is a tough matchup for Dallas. I think San Francisco is a tough matchup for anybody. You know, San Francisco, the Bengals are about as hot as anybody in football going into the playoffs for Cincinnati. The last team they lost to was the San Francisco 49ers. I think because Kyle Shanahan, so I played under Kyle, and I've obviously followed him, you know, ever since then. I think Kyle has got a lot of really good traits as a play caller and play designer. I think is one of his greatest strengths is when he watches tape, it's who's your best player, and how can I get him furthest away from the football? And he's just going to take Micah Parsons and find different ways to get him away from the ball, motions, and multiple things to look at, and misdirection, and you know, just trying to minimize his impact. And then his second step is, who's your worst player? Because he's going to get the action. And I just think Anthony Brown is a guy that he's going to go, how many different ways can I get my guys on Anthony Brown, number 30 for the Cowboys? And I just don't think that's a good matchup for them. And obviously the run game minimizes the pass rush, all that stuff. The 49ers throughout this season offensively had the second most explosive plays in all of football. Second most, like 75, both run and pass. So that's a 20-yard-plus pass or a 12-plus-yard run. Guess what defense that's left in the last that is left in the playoffs gave up the most explosive plays in football?
Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys.
And yep. You believe in Garoppolo? You believe in him?
I think Jimmy's good. I believe in him enough. Like my pause is Jimmy going to throw one of those, what the fudge did you just do, Jimmy, interceptions, you know, right, where you're just like, well, how did you just do that, you know? If he doesn't do that, I think San Francisco wins.
I'm intrigued by Cincinnati, Vegas.
Scares me.
You know, yep. Cincinnati, everybody loves Cincinnati, but this Raider team has overcome so much, haven't they, Dan?
Yeah, scares me. So this team's played, I think, in week 11. It was a three-point game with 5 minutes to go in the football game. You know, so this was, and it ended up being, I think, like 32-10 or 32-13. So the box score says, man, that was a three-possession blowout. Three-point game, 16-13, with 5 minutes to go. And then, you know, Derek Carr throws a pick six, and it kind of goes from there snowballing. So it makes me nervous because the strength of the Raiders is their four-man pass rush, and they're phenomenal at it. And the weakness of Cincinnati is pass protection. And how well does that unit hold up over the course of the football game? I think Derek Carr has got this team to believe that anything is possible. You know, I still think Cincinnati wins the football game. I really do. And I think Joe is special enough to kind of make some of those, you know, pass rush situations not be as negatively impactful as possible. But, yeah, this game, if I was a Cincinnati fan, I'm scared of this opponent for sure.
All right, Dan, we've gone back and forth on this, and we look to you for clarity. If Staley doesn't call that timeout, do the Raiders just run the clock out and take the tie?
I think so, yeah. I think – one, because of the way – so Rich Bisaccia was obviously asked after the game, and it's not what you said, it's how you said it. The reporter could not get done asking the question before he was like, oh, yeah, you know, we were having that conversation on the sideline. The fact that he was so adamant and convicted in his response makes me lean to that way.
So why did Staley call the timeout? Why? I don't get it. What was the purpose?
I think the big thing was getting Kenneth Murray off the field, his linebacker who had, you know, he's not a good run defender. They wanted to put an extra guy at the line of scrimmage, you know, a fifth defender at the line of scrimmage.
But they had 35 seconds to do that. They had 35 seconds to do that.
I think what they're thinking is, okay, it was second down. If they run the football, we think they're going to run the football here. If we stop the run here, we force them into third down, we pop a timeout. This decision-making for them, are they going to kick a long field goal or whatnot? So I think like that was their philosophy. I think the timeout was bad. I think their inability to stop the run was worse. And then also, you know, here's the thing. Like, me as an offensive person, when you call timeout, I'm not just looking at what I'm going to do. I'm looking at what you're doing. And when I see that you bring a different personnel grouping in, I look to my call sheet and go, okay, they're in this personnel grouping. I want to call a run. What runs and out of what formations did we like in this situation? And I think that was really like one of the big moments that Staley missed, is that they were gathering information as well.
And so apparently twice on Sunday, teams went for it on fourth down from their own 18 to 20 yard line.
Yeah, Tampa Bay did as well.
I just can't deal with it, dude. I don't care what it says on the paper. It just seemed like that was such a killer. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Brandon Staley, I think he's brilliant. I think he's going to be really a good head coach. I think he's got to do some self-scouting, honest evaluation of, am I aggressive or am I reckless? You know, because I think that fourth and one was reckless. I do. I don't like the fact that they don't use quarterback run in that situation with a 6'5", 250-pound freak at quarterback. But, you know, there's between being aggressive and being reckless. And I thought that one obviously was hurt their football team. And I think that's got to be part of his offseason evaluation.
Amazing stuff. I mean, just what an amazing week, and I'm sure you felt the same way. So many fun things. I think it could be a great playoffs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was probably my most fun weekend and Sunday of football. The playoffs are amazing because our regular season was. I don't know who to face. 14 teams are in. Like, I'd say this, Michael, like, I can't tell you who I think is the favorite. I could tell you there's three teams that I would be shocked if they made the Super Bowl. Shocked. I'd be shocked if Pittsburgh made the Super Bowl. Right. I would be shocked if Philadelphia made the Super Bowl, and I would be shocked if – who's my third team? I think I would be shocked if the Raiders made the Super Bowl.
Then everybody else, it's wide open.
Yeah, like if Cincinnati goes to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to be surprised. If Buffalo goes, I'm not going to be surprised. New England, not going to be surprised. Tennessee, Kansas City, the same in the NFC, like – If the 49ers go, I'm not going to be shocked. If the Rams, I'm just the games are going. They should be so good because our regular season was so good and the parity is so good. And you know, it's like, well, the Green Bay Packers have Aaron Rodgers, yeah, but they weren't dominant this year. They were good, really good, but they weren't dominant. And Tampa Bay's got Tom, but they've also got injuries galore, and Matthew's unproven, and Kyler's unproven, and. You know, the Eagles or, you know, San Francisco, do you trust Jimmy? And, well, this is Buffalo's year, but they're missing Tre'Davious White. And, you know, I just, there's so much good football, but I don't know if anybody is dominant.
No, we don't say it enough. We have a blast talking with you every Wednesday. We look forward to next Wednesday as well. Thanks, Dan.
I'm honored, boys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Take care.
That's the Dan Orlovsky Report brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. We have the lines for the games this weekend. We'll start to formulate and think and
pick
our minds, take our picks. But our personal pick segment is just on fire. So much fun.
So many people talking about it. Also, I'm gonna start off ENN by looking at Ralph Occhiano's list of should be candidates for the head coaching position of the New York Giants.
Freddie Kiki.
Kiki ain't on the list.
That is a very early tease. I love it. Right here on YES at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.